Hello, welcome to Cloud Cover. We are not the usual faces you typically see here. Our normal hosts are kind of busy today, so we have Elliot Miller. Say hi, Elliot.
Hi, I'm Elliot.
And myself, Matt Veloso, covering for them. And today we have Nino. Would you mind kind of introducing yourself and telling what you do? And
sure. Yeah, my name is Nino. I'm product guy on the HD Insight team, which is Microsoft's managed Hadoop offering on Azure. And show you a little bit about getting started today, using the service to do queries.
Right. So we're going to see Hive queries. Is that it?
Yeah. Today we're going to focus on Hive queries.
Right. So what are Hive queries?
So Hadoop itself has been around for a little bit now. Open source project that kind of originated out of Yahoo. And what happened in the last couple of years is there's investments made to make it easier to query against. So traditionally, you'd be written in MapReduce directly using Java, which is pretty complicated. And then a project out of Facebook happened where they introduced what's called Hive. Hive allows you to query or to execute queries that eventually decompile down into MapReduce jobs, but to write them in SQL-like language. So if you're an engineer or an IT pro and you're used to writing T-SQL or SQL statements, then Hive is for you.
Right. Okay. Can we see some of that?
Sure. Yeah, let's check it out. I think right before this talk, we did a talk that kind of introduced you a little bit the big data offering here. Yep. What we'll show today is this is called HD Insight. So again, HD Insight, if you're not familiar, is a way to provision and run Hadoop clusters that are managed for you. So you could, of course, always go and get Cloudera or Hortonworks, which are the two main distributions, and you can run those on Azure VMs yourself. But if you don't want to worry about provisioning and management issues at 3 in the morning, you can come to HD Insight and we'll take care of all that for you, and we'll just bill you hourly to run the cluster.
Right.
So that, in a nutshell, is HD Insight. What you can see here is I'm in the portal. Of course, I have an Azure subscription. And you can see this is the particular cluster that I already have provisioned. Call it Nino BI Query. And it's really basic to provision a cluster. All you do is select the type of cluster you want. As you can see here, there's HBase and Storm. These are other components, other Hadoop projects that we also support. You can run and deploy. A couple of my colleagues will talk to you about those things later. But today, we're just going to focus on the main sort of Hadoop scenario. So all you do to create the cluster, this is really cool, you just give it a name. You select the number of nodes. So of course, the number of nodes helps you with the degree of parallelism you want when Hadoop at the end of the day is a large-scale processing service. It's distributed across all the nodes, so you can pick how many nodes you want to work on your operations. And then of course, you can just give it a username and password to access the cluster. These are credentials you'll use to RDP in or to use the web console, which I'll show you. So really quick in a nutshell, and then one other thing I want to say is, we associate every HD Insight cluster with an Azure storage account. So when you sort of learn and you experience the world of Hadoop, there's a concept there called HDFS, Hadoop File System. Mm-hmm. What we do with HD Insight is we actually, instead of you having your data as part of the cluster in this HDFS file system, which is a bit sort of temporal and ephemeral, we actually think that most of our customers will have their data in Azure storage already.
Right.
So we wrote a driver that connects to Azure storage. We assume that you have all of your data there, and you can query the service, and it will go retrieve the data from Azure storage and process it for you.
Okay? Very cool.
Cool. So that's kind of a little overview of how I even got to where I am to show you this.
Right.
So the first thing we'll do is you can kind of see here's the cluster. Again, these are technically just a set of VMs that we manage for you. So you can actually, as I mentioned, you can RDP into the head node, which is the master node. You can run command line operations directly against the cluster from there. You could use some of the lightweight management tools we provide, things like that. What we also built, which I'll show you today, was something called the Query Console. So I opened the Query Console. This is a really lightweight web app that's hosted on your cluster for you. And what we did is we looked at a couple of what we think are some of the more basic use cases that people will use Hadoop for. That's a often a question we get is, you know, is why would I use Hadoop? What is this?
Yep.
You know, why
not? Yeah, that makes sense.
Why not just shove all of this into a really big relational database, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so for the folks that are again walking up to this to Hadoop for the first time, the key sort of use cases we see that you can even use this technology against is are things like, you know, new data sets that are very large that are being generated. Maybe your company has a bunch of devices in the field that are reporting data. And that data you historically haven't saved or kept very long because maybe it was prohibitively expensive, but now with cloud, you're saving a lot more data. This is a type of query service that you can use to process large-scale data sets like that. And then you know, maybe your websites report a bunch of logs. So operational analytics or weblog analytics is another popular use case with Hadoop.
So what kind of advantage does this give you over, say, a relational database?
So the key advantage is it's completely built to work with unstructured data. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll even show you in this demo, as I've alluded to, those two use cases I was talking about, that data is unstructured. It's probably sitting in a comma delimited file set or a space delimited file set. So there's no relational constructs, right? So Hadoop, and especially Hive, as I'll show you, gives you the ability to provide put some structure on that data so you can use a SQL-like language against it. Mm-hmm. So that's really the biggest difference and the advantage, frankly.
Very cool.
So what I'm hearing is that there's a difference in terms of cost, because keeping a lot of data in a relational database costs a lot of money, where here it's easier to deal with that. And there's another point, which is data transformation and structuring, where in a typical relational database to a data warehouse, you have to go and transform the data, do a lot of processing, costs a lot of money as well. Where here, like, you can have all this unstructured data in some big repository, and then run these queries on top of it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can just leave it alone. Hadoop does provide, you know, in the ecosystem, they do provide languages and capabilities like Pig Latin, which we won't talk about today, but that's an ETL-ish language that helps you do some transformation and preparation if you'd like to. For today, our data is coming directly off of a website that we have, which it's IIS log data. Right, so it has no structure. It's just written to a CSV file, and exactly as you said, there will be no data preparation. We'll just start querying.
And this goes to Azure Storage, right? Or does it have to be Azure Storage? Or
so 90, all of our customers basically use Azure Storage. You could choose to use HDFS if you want to, but right now we're co-located against, you know, what most of our customers do. It makes sense. They co-locate the Hadoop cluster near their data, Azure Storage data, so they have performant reads and queries.
Right.
Okay, so let's dive in here. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to jump immediately to, we have this web-based editor. And we also have some Visual Studio tools, which I'll show you too. Mm-hmm. But this will just kind of kick us off here. So if you can see, this is pretty straightforward. And for the folks watching, if this feels like really basic SQL, it's because it is. You know, Hive gives us this capability. So the first thing we'll do, actually, before we even get started here, let me just open this client. This is my Azure Storage account. Mm-hmm. This is actually the log data itself. So let me show you the data we're going to work against, so you can kind of grasp the concept here. So I'll just quickly just pull this up. So these are basic IIS version 8 web logs. You can see that the first column, it denotes the actual types and the what we would refer to as columns of the data.
Right.
And then below that you can see each line item is, you know, in this case it's a particular GET request against this web server for a web resource, right? So you can see everything there. So again, just to kind of give you an idea, this is the data set that we'll write a Hive query against.
Okay.
So let me close this really quick. So let me jump back. So so the first thing we can do is, out of the gate, HD Insight, we give you a table of data. We call it the Hive sample data. And this is something you can get started with working with right away. But in this case, what we can do is we can write just basic, you know, what we think of as T-SQL statements. In this case, it's a Hive statement. I'll submit this. All this is going to do is it's going to return to me, after it completes the operation, the set of tables I already have created in my cluster. So what we'll do, so as I've mentioned before, is if you think about it, to write structured syntax, like SQL-like syntax, the data has to have some structure. So looking at that common delimited file set, the IIS logs, the first thing I want to do is give myself a table that I can actually write SQL-like queries against. So the very first thing we're going to do here is we're going to create a table over those logs. So I actually, instead of typing it all out, let me paste it in here.
So you're telling, you're actually mapping that unstructured data into some columns you can call by their names and can run queries against, right?
Absolutely, right. Yeah, so we leave the data where it is. It's sitting in an Azure blob. It's IIS, space delimited log data. And then what we're going to do is we're going to create a table that we actually store as part of our Hadoop instance. It technically stores in an Azure database that you've provisioned along with your cluster. But what we're going to do is create that so now we can write Hive queries against that structured. So we call it schema on read.
Right.
So it gives it the schema as you run the queries.
So that's the key difference there. Like if it was a relational database, I would have to do kind of the same, but then I have to run a bunch of batch jobs to take all the data, transform it, and put in a new place and use a lot of storage to do that, where here it's just giving, just mapping that metadata.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You just sort of like, as you said, a quick recap, you look at the data, you figure out the columns that you want to use or the elements of the data you want to use. Mm. You create a table. And as you can see here, just really quick, let's dive in. So what I'm doing here is I'm creating an external table. I'm specifying, of course, I want to drop it if it exists. Mm-hmm. And the thing about an external table, as you learn Hadoop, you can either, if you don't specify external, it creates the table in the cluster. So the actual cluster manages that table. So if you do drop the cluster, you lose the table.
Right.
So as you can imagine, even though I just pasted this in to make this look easy, it took a little bit of time to think about the columns and the types that I wanted, right? So taking tables takes a little time. Of course, if you're paying by the hour, maybe you did a quick development for 3 hours and you want to shut the cluster down. So this is a cool way to, you want to create your tables externally that are saved in an Azure database. And we call it a metastore. H-catalog is what the Hadoop community calls it. And that way, if you kill your cluster, you saved all the tables that you worked on, right?
And you can back up that data later. Can you take it offline? And like let's say now I want to run a Hadoop cluster somewhere else.
Totally. Yeah. Right. So you can check it into whatever source depot you use.
Right.
You can keep it in your GitHub repo. I keep mine in a Notepad file in my cloud storage, right? But you want to keep it outside the cluster, and that way, if you drop the cluster, you're fine. Now, the cluster really is just sort of a temporary distributed processing set of machines.
Right.
Right. So the data exists in table storage, and all the artifacts like the Hive tables we've created will stay outside of it as well.
Very cool. Okay.
So really quick, let's just walk through what this is. So this should be, again, pretty straightforward for folks that are comfortable with SQL. I'm going to drop the table if it exists. It's just a little housekeeping. I'm going to create an external table. Then as you can see here, I'm going to give my table a table name. In this case, I'm going to call it weblogs, pretty basic. And then all I'm doing now is specifying the column names and the types of all the columns I'd like to use.
Right.
This doesn't have to map exactly to what those are. You could choose to just create a subset of columns.
Yeah.
In this case, these are all the ones we want. The next thing down here, you can see row format. So all I'm saying, I'm explaining that in this table, the underlying data source, the row format is, in this case, space delimited. If it was comma, between the parentheses, you'd see comma delimited. And then, of course, I'm just giving it a little bit more metadata saying it's stored as a text file in this location. Now, here's what's important. As you were saying earlier, the data itself is sitting in Azure Storage.
Right.
This table is actually part of the cluster that I use to write SQL queries against. So as not only do we find the data in the table, but we say where to go to to execute the query and retrieve the data. So in this case, what you can see is you can see a fully qualified domain path to my WASB storage account. And you can see, no surprise blog cord at windows.net. This is the exact file I just showed you.
Okay.
All the way to HDI samples, website log sample data, right? So we specify this is where the file is. Here's the structure to use. Go get it. Okay, go query against it.
The other thing that comes in my mind when I look at it is like in the traditional relational world, that's where I start worrying about indexes and what should be indexed by what? What should be a cluster index? Well, like, I don't see any of that there. Does it matter? Do I have to tell what are the columns are going to search things by, or?
It's a good point. So it's a little different. So you don't have to worry about those things. But but what Hive actually does give you, and it's not necessarily the beginner topic, but you'll get to it pretty fast. Hive allows you to do support partitioning, like for example. So as opposed to doing something where you sort of, let's say you have this massive file of your weblog data, right? That's cool, but querying that and scanning that entire table could take forever, especially if that reached petabyte or exabyte scale. So what Hive does you here, we don't show it here, but you can also start to partition your data. Maybe you could do like partition my weblog data by date. right, by date range. So then what's really cool about that is when is that partitioning scheme also applies to the Hive query. So what you can do is say, hey, I want to go query this data. I don't want to scan this entire table. Right. Let me actually leverage partitions and actually query the exact folder with the exact file I want. Okay. So those are some performance related query performance related things that you can also think about when you think about Hive.
Great.
Okay. That's a good point. So okay, and then table properties. This is just this statement here is just telling me that or telling the query itself don't use the first two lines because when you looked at the data, those were just description things. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So this is pretty cool. So I can go ahead and I can submit this against the cluster. All this is doing is it's actually not even doing a query at this point. It's just creating that table concept and storing it in the metastore.
Right. Okay?
So it's setting us up to actually write a query. Mm-hmm. So now that we have identified the data, we've built a Hive table so that we can write SQL queries. Now we can write a SQL query against it.
Yeah.
So what I'll do here, so we can let this complete. And then what I'll do here is I'll go up here. And this, again, should just be really straightforward. But so I'll do the canonical selects all. Mm-hmm. Weblogs, as you can see, this is the table I just created. So now I have this structured concept.
Yeah.
And then I can just do something really basic, like, hey, let go to select everything from the weblogs, but just limit 10 results.
Right.
Okay. So I'll hit submit. And what's happening is this is going through Hive. Hive server 2 is the actual Hive component running on the cluster. And then it's going to actually decompile all the way down actually into MapReduce. So I don't have to write in that complex MapReduce. I just wrote a basic select statement. It's really cool. This will execute across the nodes. In this cluster, I have 8 nodes. It will connect to the data set, and then it will actually perform the MapReduce operation across the distributed nodes. And it will bring the result set back. Okay, and I'll show you.
That's not a huge difference for folks who look at it. So that's SQL. It's just like a relational database. This becomes a job that runs in the background across X number of nodes, and then that job completes, and then you can see the result out of it. Right? It looks like it's like a SQL window against SQL server, but there is more involved than a normal SQL query. Right?
Absolutely.
We give you a lot of that big data magic for free.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that's a killer point. You know, it's when, you know, years ago, if you walked up to Hadoop, it was actually kind of frightening. You're like, wait, you know, I don't have a solid Java background for a lot of our customers, or I'm not really used to writing like almost bytecode level sort of constructs.
Right.
I've spent most of my career writing SQL-like languages, right, or writing queries in that sort of SQL-like structure.
Yeah.
So to your point exactly, Hive allows me to take the skill set I have building applications maybe on SQL Server for years, and it allows me to instantly turn. So when my boss walks up and says, hey, let's do a big data project, I don't have to go buy a bunch of books and learn a bunch of new things.
Right.
So that's really cool. So, and also to your point, and I want to let everybody know watching this, one of my favorite things is just do a search for the Hortonworks Hive cheat sheet. They actually lay out all of the syntax that you would use writing T-SQL-like statements, and then what it maps to in a Hive-like statement. And you'll realize that a lot are very similar, right? So that's a cool cheat sheet if you want to get started.
So bring the skills you have, we'll work with you.
Totally.
And the other thing is depending on the complexity of your query, things may take longer or not, right? So in a normal application development scenario, I need to build on a model where I'm submitting this query and I need to be aware that there will be some time until I can actually get the results, right? And I need to prepare to deal with this asynchronous model, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what we see is Hadoop is, and MapReduce specifically, has traditionally come from more of a batch processing use case. So, hey, daily go truncate or go compute all the weblogs from yesterday, or daily go look at some credit card transaction activity.
Yep.
And, you know, and of course, there's machine learning libraries you can run and go look for anomalies and spending, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a set of technologies, and my peers will come talk about it as we continue the series, where you can actually get very, very close to more interactive real-time query.
Okay.
One of the things that's happening right now is in Hortonworks is our partner, so if you're wondering, we run the Hortonworks build. But there's a Tez Stinger initiative, that's what they call it. And what they're doing is through concepts like a DAG, which is a directed acyclic graph, we're actually getting, Hortonworks specifically, is getting the query performance down to sub-second level performance.
Oh, wow.
So before, where it was like, hey, you know, to your point, let me go build a pipeline, more of a batch process mentality.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things being done out in the community, a lot of things, stuff actually shipping this year, where you can get these queries pre-performant, where it's almost interactive.
Wow.
So, you know, it's batch in a way, but I'd also wouldn't write it off for interactive as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, so let's just to kind of finish this, we ran our select statement, it executed. We'll look at the details here, but just really quick, as you guys can see here, the job output, I literally just did a select all from that same table in Azure Storage,
right.
And then I just returned 10. Right, so right. It's really easy. Of course, I can go make this query more complex. I can use the group by function. I can, of course, specify a where value if I'm looking for a specific, maybe I'm looking for a specific HTTP error, right? So I can go do those things. I can write this job in a SQLite language. I can run it every day.
So what's cool about it is you're sending those logs in the original format. There's no transformation there, right? So you could have a simple batch job that takes your server logs, put them on Azure Storage. There is no transformation. There is no pre-validation of that file. It's just there the way it was. And then you're running a query against that instantly.
Yeah.
So imagine the amount of work. I've seen folks spending months transforming logs, right, doing data analysis on that. That's all done for you, right? I think that's the huge value there.
You can play around with regular expressions and grep and sed, or you can do this.
Now, I do want to say there's quite a bit, because this data source came from an Azure service, right?
And sure.
I think, a great point you're making. If you're on the Azure platform and you have a web application or maybe using storage logs, and those are already emitting logs, that querying that data is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you are out there and you're using a tool that brings together a bunch of data sources and you're transforming them, and you're effectively building a data preparation or kind of an ETL pipeline, but you want it to scale, that's where PEG comes in, and you can still use this as well, really
sure.
Easy, right? So you can prepare the data, you can do it at scale, you can do it performantly, and then of course you can do Hive to query it.
Right.
Okay, so that was a really basic example. Hopefully everybody now feels empowered to take the skill set you have, get started with Hadoop. One of the other things I wanted to just quickly mention while we're here is the table I just showed you and sort of the operation we performed, we built these. We mm-hmm. built these for you. So you can come into here and you can, if you already have an Azure website or if you already are using Azure Storage and you want to analyze those logs, you don't even have to write any code. We have a step-by-step solution that you can implement. You just plug in your own data. Down here, we have other things you can do with Hadoop. HD Insight, you can do Mahout. Mahout is a machine learning library that's on Hadoop that we also deploy as part of HD Insight. Things like movie recommendations, you can do item-based or collaborative filtering. So not only do you do this, today we're focusing on the SQL-like query capability, but you could also do all this powerful stuff like machine learning. You could do website log analysis. So let me just show you this really quick. This would work over the same data set I just showed you, but we just built a really easy step-by-step tutorial. So again, if you're kind of new to Hadoop, you're new to Hive, this is a really easy way to learn. So you can come in here, and this is exactly what I just showed you. So we'll walk you through all the code we wrote for you. We wrote how to create a table over the data set.
Yeah.
We wrote here's actually the queries we wrote. So against those tables, here are the queries that we're selecting in this particular case. We're using those columns we defined in our Hive table. And we're selecting the status and the referrer code from the web logs, right? You can see we're specifying a where clause, right? We want the particular errors between 4 and 500, and we provide a group by, right? And then we of course count. So there's all this logic that you can write today in T-SQL that you should be familiar with. You can do in Hive.
What I like about this, I think Microsoft has been learning how to build better documentation for developers. I think there is a lot that has changed recently in that. And I like this model. We see that in Azure Machine Learning as well. We see it here where you have all these tutorials that take one example that I can really relate to that. Analyze server logs. Yeah, I had that problem before. And walks step by step. Let's not make any assumptions of what I didn't know about Hadoop. And let's just show you the steps you need to take to go from zero to get it done, right? And I think it's a great way of learning it, right? It's just following that steps and learning it. It's really good.
Especially a lot of this stuff is open source, right? Which is great. Open source rocks. That's why I love our team. But sometimes it you can get lost in the sea of blog posts.
Right.
This is a we all know this, right? So it's an easy way to kind of get your hands dirty.
And the open source is not a great point, right? You're talking about a bunch of technologies here. People sometimes I don't want to be locked in Microsoft platforms. If I use these, I'll never be able to use anything else. There's nothing here that's specific to Microsoft. If you feel at any point I want to take this and run somewhere else, that's fine, right?
Yeah, that's a killer point. You know, everybody, I have a lot of people walk up to me at conferences or with customers, and they say, okay, well, how do I think about HD Insight, which is really sort of a, you know, it is the Hadoop platform, and you have all these various components like real-time analytics, streaming, you have HBase, which is a NoSQL store that Maxim will cover. You have all these capabilities. And then it looks like Microsoft is also building some of their own first-party services, you know, like Azure Streaming, things like that. And really, it comes down to just choice. You know,
right.
If you're comfortable with open source community, we have a Linux build now. You can run HD Insight in Linux, and that's what you choose. You know, you have a MacBook. That's your development environment. That's just sort of who you are, where you've come from. We have a choice for you. Here it
right.
is. If you're more invested in another part of the ecosystem, we have that too.
Cool.
So that's a good point to bring up.
You know, it's, yeah, we're all about empowerment here. We just want to give you the tools you need to succeed.
Yeah,
right.
Totally. So just to kind of finish the wizard, you know, kind of just show you the rest here. You can bring this all together, and you can actually submit this. This actually will submit against the cluster and run. So again, you know, bring your own data, play around with these wizards. This is a fun way to learn.
All right, so straight from the tutorial, you can just hit submit and just make it work.
Yeah, it's like really cool. So you have to write
that
no code,
really cool.
And you can do this. So one other thing I kind of want to show guys, that was a web-based, just really quick console we've built.
Right.
We also are investing in Visual Studio, of course, right? A lot of customers watching probably have it. So we have a team that is building tools inside Visual Studio so you can write and build Hive applications against HD Insight. So really quick, just want to kind of introduce you to this, just so you know where we are. I have my Server Explorer open. I've already bound to my Azure account. And then I've gone down here and I've connected to my HD Insight server, right? So this is my cluster, right? This is the head node. I can go in here and I can visually see all the databases I've created in this Hive server. So again, you know, I can see the databases and the tables. Again, if you're familiar with SQL, this is really easy. And then from there, I can see my default, and I'm sure if I expand this, you will be able to see the weblog table we just created.
Yep.
And then over here, what's really cool, you can hit File New, you can go Project. We've even given you the same sample I just walked you through in the web console.
Ah, nice.
We shoved it into Visual Studio, so you can walk through it here.
Okay.
And you can play with it and customize it. So, you know, let me say no. So if I hit OK, and it fires up the sample. So in here, we have all these in-text comments, but you can see the same tables we'll create, seeing the same queries we'll run. And if I submit it, it will just go ahead and submit it. Using ODBC against our Hadoop cluster.
So in that point, I'm submitting from Visual Studio. But what if I want to build a, let's say, a background service in .NET that runs these queries? Like, is that a web service I call? Is that a .NET library I have to use?
Yeah, so we provide a couple different ways. We have a REST endpoint, which
right.
you just submit queries against from that application. Or we have an SDK as well that you can leverage
right.
that eventually will, of course, use the same endpoints. So we support the spectrum. However you want to write your app, what you're most comfortable with, write it. And then, of course, you could just use our APIs and our SDK to write against the
cool.
service. Okay.
Awesome.
And what we notice, and you know, that. So for example, like we also have a partner program we're kicking off. So if you wanted to learn how to use Hadoop, but through the lens of a finished application, we're kicking that off. So you can think of, you could use tools like Datamere, you could use tools like Waterline, right? You could use those tools. Those guys wrote the tools, and those at the end of the day simply just submit jobs against the cluster. So similar to what you're saying is you write your entire application, and at the end of the day, what is emitted from that application when we think about a multi-tiered architecture is simply just, you know, a Hive query or a MapReduce job, which is executed against the cluster, the data set is returned and bound to the application and displayed.
Right.
So it's a way to think about it. So again, just wanted to quickly use this as an opportunity to say the same thing we just did in the web, we can do in Visual Studio.
Yep.
It's a great way to learn. And this hopefully helps everybody get started. It's not scary. You can use your T-SQL skill set, and you can process data, unstructured data at scale.
This is pretty awesome.
Big data can be hard, but it doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be, yes.
Yeah. So. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed. It was really great. Thank you. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.